Man, I'm excited to be here with you guys tonight. This is week two of our men's midweek, and I get the honor to bring a word. And tonight, I want to talk about ministering to the Lord. And I feel like the Lord gave me this for us tonight, to talk about ministering to the Lord. You know, we hear that we minister for the Lord. We minister to the hurting, to the poor, to the sick, and we minister healing over them. We minister love and hope. But I think sometimes we skip over the importance of ministering to the Lord. And tonight, I want us to dive in that together, and just the importance and what that means and what that is. So before we jump in, I want to ask a question. Where is your heart's gaze? I'm going to ask that again. Where is your heart's gaze? And what I mean by that is, what has your attention? What has your focus, your devotion? What is the center of your life? And when I ask that question, it's not a question to maybe be corrective or negative or to bring condemnation, but it's for us to kind of reset and just really think, like, what has my attention? What has my focus? What am I putting all my time into? And I feel like this question is something that's great for us to ask ourselves often, just to kind of reset and really just evaluate my heart. Man, where's my heart at? What's my attention and affection on? So I'm going to ask that question, and we'll just let it sit there, and then we're going to kind of come back to the question and really dive into to that. So before we jump into tonight, I just want us to pray over the night before we dive into it. Father, we thank you. We love you. We just give you the night. Father, just speak through me, that our ears are open, our hearts are ready to receive what you have for us tonight, and that we just walk away with new revelation from your word and from your word. We thank you. We love you. We just give you ourselves tonight. Our hearts are open to you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I thank you for who you are and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know we've all heard this this phrase, you were made for such a time as this. Or maybe you've heard it, you were born for such a time as this. Have we all heard that? Raise our hands, yeah. Okay, we here? We're awake. So you were made for such a time as this. So this comes from Esther 4:14. In the NLT, it says, and this is Mordecai speaking to Queen Esther. It says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. So as we hear that phrase, for such a time as this, what does that mean, and what are they saying? And as you continue to dive into this passage, basically what that phrase is, it speaks to stepping up to fulfill the purpose God has for each of us. So this is big for us to walk into the calling that God has placed on our lives. And I just want to speak this over you guys, that we were made for such a time as this. You know, sometimes we can look into the world and like see the craziness that we go through. Like the last few years have been pretty crazy. We've seen things that maybe we didn't think we would see. Churches were closing down. Businesses were closing. Masks were everywhere. And you just see like all this chaos and fear and just darkness really just coming and being made known. And maybe when you think of those things, it's like, man, I don't want to be made for a time like this. I just want to go be with the Lord. Like, I don't want to be a part of it. But this is such a beautiful thing that we get to be a part of, knowing that now more than ever, the world needs mighty men to rise up and to be the light that he's called us to be men that walk by the Spirit, to be men that bring hope, that bring life, that bring love to people. And ultimately, man, we are called to be image bearers of Jesus. We need to bring people Jesus. We need to bring people Jesus. We need to walk out our calling and ultimately shine for him. You know, there's so many people that are hurting, so many people that are in pain, that are in chains and bondage in this world. And we need to be that light. We need to be bringing people the answer, which is Jesus. So as I speak these things out, maybe the question arises, okay, so how do I do this? What does this look like? You know, we've heard that phrase before, but okay, what does this look like? How do I get to that place where I'm hearing the voice of God? First off, we need to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus. We need to give everything to him. We need to give him our hearts. We need to give him our minds, our wills, our ways. And we don't do this alone. So we don't take on these things, but we do them through him and allow him to do these things through us because he's the answer. I want to read a passage, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. And Colossians 1, man, it just really just impacts and just encapsulates the gospel, really, in that short passage. But verse 9 through 14, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you." Before I read this, man, we're about to read scripture, and I just want to shed light on scripture, man. It is living, it's breathing, it is life to our souls. And as we read the word, man, we just need to receive the life that it gives and invite the Holy Spirit to enlighten us with what the word is saying. So as we read this, man, let's just open our hearts and receive the life that we're reading. So let's read this together. Verse 9, I'm going to start over. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." So this is Paul and Timothy writing to this group of people. Verse 10, it says, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit and every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Man, we need to grow in our relationship with him and knowing him experientially. Verse 11 says, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Man, that is huge. That verse, we should all be like just jumping and running. Like, he's qualified us to share in his inheritance. Man, it's everything. He's given us everything through sending his son Jesus. We get to be heirs to the kingdom and co-heirs with Christ because of what Jesus did. And we get to, we're qualified. So that question, how do we do this? Through God, and he qualifies us. Verse 13, it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Man, Jesus came to bring redemption for our sins so that we could come into the family of God. Man, that is amazing what he did for us. Man, he came to give himself for us to receive. Man, that's big. So he's qualified us. So we need to recognize who he is and who we are in him. Verse 15. I know I'm reading a lot of scriptures here, but it's good. It's good reading his word. You know that? It's good. Come on. Verse 15, it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Verse 17, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or whether things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God. Let's pay attention to this part right here. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. I'm going to read that again. That is amazing. But now he has reconciled you to Christ, physical body through the death and present, no, not, whatever, 23, sorry. If you continue in your faith, where am I at? Was I reading the right scripture? There we go, 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. We are seen by the Father through the image of Jesus. So that's what that's saying right there. We are seen by the Father through the image of Jesus, and this is made possible because of his body and blood. So Jesus gave himself for us. His body broke, his blood poured out for us, so that we could come to the Father, that we could come into the family and come into the kingdom and be heirs to the kingdom and share in his glory, share in all of his goodness, all of his promises. I mean, that's good news, guys. Such good news. So as I'm reading this, we continue on, like, okay, what does this look like to walk out being a minister unto the Lord and walking out in our calling? So once we choose to follow Christ, we must start to have a relationship with him. So once we choose to follow him, we must have a relationship with him. So this leads back to my question, where is your heart's gaze? Is it fixed on Jesus? We need to be in constant communion with him, ministering to him. He is speaking, and we need to position ourselves to hear his voice. We have to position ourselves to hear his voice, and we do that by getting alone with him. Jesus knew the importance of getting alone with God. And throughout scriptures, you see several times where it talks about how he got alone with the Lord. And we need to be in constant communion with him, getting alone, ministering to his heart, praying, fasting. And those are big things to be able to hear the voice of God. You know, we were designed to be ministers unto the Lord. So we need to foster this culture of seeking his face, pouring oil on his feet, and ministering to his heart, where that focus is our predominant mission. We cannot be effective ministers for the Lord until we live a life ministering unto the Lord. So we can't be effective ministers. I'm going to say that again. We can't be effective ministers for the Lord until we live a life ministering to him. So I want to read through some examples in the Bible that kind of show us the importance of ministering to the Lord and why that phrase I just spoke is true. Deuteronomy 10:8. You guys follow me? Are we good? Make it sense? That's good. All right, Deuteronomy 10:8. It says, at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister and to pronounce blessing in his name as they still do today. So there was this whole tribe of Israel, the Levites, who their main focus was to minister to the Lord, to worship him, to bless him, to sing praises to his name, to honor him. And because they did this, if you continue on to read, God protected their land. He protected the whole nation because this one tribe in the nation ministered unto him. You know, the people of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, they weren't perfect. They rebelled more than once. But even still, if you think about this, the cloud did not depart. The fire did not depart. The glory remained because one tribe ministered unto the Lord. That tribe kept the Lord among the people, even when they sinned and rebelled, because ministering to him kept his glory among them. Acts 13, there's this moment, I'm going to read verses 2-3, but there's this moment where teachers and prophets, they gathered together. I think it was like 5 or 6 of them. And they gathered together, and it says in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, some scriptures say as they worshiped, prayed, and fasted unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, or it says the Holy Spirit spoke. So these men gathered, ministered unto the Lord. They were worshiping him. They were giving him praise. And then the Holy Spirit spoke. So that's a big moment. And it shows us that when we begin to position ourselves doing that, man, the Holy Spirit is going to speak. We're going to hear the voice of the Lord. It continues on. It says, this is what the Holy Spirit said. It says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, who is now Paul, for the work to which I have called them. So if you stop and read that phrase, so they positioned themselves to minister to the Lord. They heard the word of the Lord. And then the word of the Lord said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work I have now called them to do. So they were doing a work, but as they began to minister and they heard the word of the Lord, he called them out to do another thing. He called them out to do their mission, their calling. And they received that because they were worshiping and they were ministering unto him. Verse 3 says, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So as we just talked about, as these men ministered unto the Lord, that's what the prayer of praise and worship is, ministering to the Lord. As they ministered and fasted, the Holy Ghost spoke. That's the kind of atmosphere that God moves in. We know his word says in Psalms that he inhabits the praises of his people. That type of atmosphere is how the people got direction from God. Pastor Kenneth E. Hagin, I've heard him speak on this topic a few times, but he said a lot of times people are praying about things, and that's correct because the scripture tells us to pray about everything and it's supplication, but giving thanks. But he said, you know, we have like national days of prayer and we do all these things, but he said, so we're praying about all things, and that's correct. But on the other hand, let's get into his presence. And you are right there where the answer is. How do you get into his presence? When it tells us through prayer, through praise, through thanksgiving, through worship. So we hear the voice of the Lord. when we get into the presence of the Lord and we begin to minister to his heart, we begin to minister to his person. That's just another example. I'll continue on. You know, if you continue reading Acts 16, there's this moment where Paul and Silas, they're imprisoned, and we all know the story. They begin to pray out loud. They begin to praise, and it says the guards, they could hear them. So it wasn't like they were keeping it inside. They were letting it out. They were letting their praise leave from their beings and letting it fill the air, and they knew the power of praise. And we all know that as they begin to praise, there was this big earthquake. The doors flung open, and they were set free. So we see here that praise, man, it just positions us to receive freedom, to hear the voice of the Lord, to receive breakthrough. Psalm 27 is something that, man, we just need to live by, to let it be our heart's cry. This is one of my favorite psalms. It says in verse 1, this is David speaking. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble." Man, David was secure in his relationship with the Lord. And this is bold what he says. When the wicked advance against me, it's not me who's going to fall and stumble. It's my enemies who will fall and stumble. Though an army, besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then, I will be confident. Verse 4, it says, this is the key for David. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." You know, we read this, and David, man, he's another great example of the importance of ministering unto the Lord. You know, as we read this, David, the aim wasn't for David to be obsessed with God defeating his enemies. It was for him to be obsessed with the beauty and splendor of the Lord. And as he was obsessed with the beauty and the splendor of God, the defeat of his enemies became a secondary consequence for an appropriate pursuit. So he knew the importance of what praise and what worship and what ministering to the Lord's heart did. But he knew that it wasn't to focus on God doing something, but it was just focusing on God, focusing on him because who he is and all that he encapsulates and brings to us. So, you know, I say all this to kind of bring to a head, man, we need to live lives ministering unto him. And we can all see in these men's lives that that's what they did. And we saw victory through that. So as we read through these examples of these men and this tribe that ministered unto the Lord, we see that their land was blessed and protected. We see that the Holy Spirit spoke to them as they did this, that chains were demolished, that they remained confident in who God is and what his word says, that all of his promises actually are yes and amen. They knew the importance of it. And I just want us to, as men, to charge you guys to for myself, that we live lives ministering unto him so that we can effectively minister to those around us to be that light that he's called us to be. So now I ask the question, where do you want your heart's gaze to be? We see that these men, I'm going to walk up here because we're going to get ready to worship. We're going to minister unto the Lord. We see that these men, they knew the importance of that. But I want to kind of clear something up or just kind of speak life into what I was talking about. We don't do this thing just to receive blessing, just to hear the voice of the Lord or to have chains demolished and be confident in Him. Those are just byproducts of doing and ministering to His heart. But we do this thing of worship and ministering to His heart just because He is infinitely worthy. He's infinitely holy. He's infinitely worthy of all praise, all adoration. And I believe as we grasp the importance of ministering to His heart, man, we're going to see new levels of freedom in our lives. We're going to see and hear the voice of the Lord more clearly because it's important for us to get along with Him. He wants us and He desires us to have a relationship with Him where we have this holy fear and reverence for Him, for His word, for His person, with what He says. And I want us and charge us to live lives ministering unto Him, and giving Him ourselves and praying and fasting so that we can hear His voice, so that we can rise up as men who He's called us to be and be the light that He's called us to be. So we're just going to dive into a moment of just praise and prayer. As I play, you can stand, you can sit, but really I just want you to position your heart and focus your attention and devotion on Him because He's worthy. Jesus gave us everything. And this is big, guys. And I feel like if we grasp a hold of this, the importance of that, and live that life, we're going to see some breakthrough in our lives and in our community. So let's just worship together.